No, but do you have your regular verses? Everybody's okay.
We do that early.
Oh, that one verse. No.
Yeah,
okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everybody. So we heard this morning, today is the last day of Kartik. We also have a few other things we can think about today. Today is also the marriage of Srimati Tulsi Maharani with Shalagram, Sri Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha. So we can think of the story of Tulsi. If you don't know it, please find someone who does and get enlightened. Tulsi. She, by tricks, Krishna assumed her husband's form. And so when he did that, she became unchaste. And so she cursed Krishna. "You are so hard-hearted. You become a stone." So Krishna assumed the form of Shalagram. And he appears in northern India, in the Gandaki River. Only there. And he appears in so many forms there. And we hear of so many wonderful devotees worshipping this form of Shalagram. And so the actual vivaha, or the actual puja to be done today, is to shower your Shalagram with lots of Tulsi Manjaris. So you can either meditate on doing that, or I had the opportunity this morning to do that and relish in that. But Tulsi is certainly very merciful to us, and as is Shalagram. And so we have this opportunity to think of them today as well, and attain their blessings. As we know, when we worship Tulsi, you know, we're asking her for not just some pocket change or some just some material thing. We're asking her for the highest understanding of Krishna bhakti. So it's a very wonderful meditation to understand who Tulsi is, and it may take some time, may take some effort to understand this personality in the form of a plant or a tree. By only by her mercy and by Krishna's mercy can we understand these things. Today also, there are two. The first day of Kartik is called Sarat Purnima, and the last day of Kartik is Krishna Rasayatra. Both of these days are days in which Krishna performed his rasa dance. So we can think of that as well. And Vaishnavas, they traditionally will make some sweet rice or kheer on this day, and they'll bring it outside in the evening, when the moon is full, because Purnima means full moon night. So you bring it out and you leave it there overnight, and it is a wonderful beverage for the divine couple as they are performing their Rasleela pastimes and dancing in the moonlight. If they become tired or a little hungry or thirsty, there's refreshment for them. So if you have an opportunity, make a little cup of sweet rice and put it outside, and take care that the critters won't get to it. So put it in some sort of glass jar that the moonlight can still shine upon it, and then in the morning you can blissfully partake in the remnants of prasad. Again, today the last day of Kartik. It is also the last day of Bhishma Panchaka, which is the 5 days observing of Bhishma's instructions to the Pandavas. And on this last day, as you'll be reading about and studying in the next 2 chapters from now in Bhagavatam, we'll hear of the passing of Bhishma Dev and his instructions imparting upon the Pandavas as he's leaving his body. But on this last day, he stops speaking, and he simply focused his intention and mind on Krishna, and Krishna very mercifully gave him his darshan for this time. So it's a nice meditation as well to think that today the actual disappearance of Bhishma. Bhishma had this benediction that he could leave his body at will at any time, so he wanted to pick the most opportune, most moment, either astrologically or spiritually, what was the best time to leave your body. So this was the Purnima for that. I hope everybody's Kartik Vratas have gone wonderfully. I'm sure there's you've all had your each individual realizations and inspirations from this month. I remember when I first came to Krishna consciousness, when I moved in, and I didn't know it at that time, but that day was the first day of Kartik. And then after the last day of Kartik, I was crushed. I was like, why aren't we singing that song anymore? You know, it was like, oh no, that's just for 1 month we sing that. And I said, oh wow, it's such a beautiful song, such a beautiful meditation of Kartik, that here we have concentrated on this this sail, as Prabhupada sometimes describes Kartik as the sail of Krishna Bhakti, that we all been taking advantage of those wonderful opportunities to serve Krishna and get so much more benefit from it. And particularly the concentration on this Bala Gopal form of Krishna. Idam Tevapurnata Gopala Balam. Yes. So Krishna is such a beautiful form, beautiful face, rosy cheeked, not from cold or from cosmetics, but is from the kisses of Mother Yasoda. And so, such a beautiful form is this. We don't desire anything else but to simply, again and again, think of this. So does that mean tomorrow we don't think of Bala Gopal anymore? No, we've had the sail. We've got something. We hope we have something from this vrata, and then we want to use it in Krishna's service or in our enjoyment. Actually, there's enjoyment in remembering Krishna. So let us go forward that way. Look forward to next year. But you know, yeah, we understand Krishna. This is his most charming form of Damodar, and you'll also read in the next chapter, Queen Kunti, not only most charming but most astonishing. She's astonished by this form of Krishna, that, you know, she's explaining Krishna is, you know, the supreme controller, the supreme creator. And these things we sometimes easily can attribute to God. Yeah, I can understand as God as being the supreme controller, supreme creator, the master of the universe, inspiration and everything. God is very understandable in that way. But when we see God as like this, as Damodar, oh, this blows our mind. This is astonishing, Kunti says. So it's something that, you know, is very confidential, that the devotees relish in the core of their hearts, these wonderful forms of Krishna and his many pastimes. So we can go forward thinking of Krishna and taking further opportunity in his service. So today we're going to be covering Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 7th chapter, the son of Jonah punished, text 7 through 10. And Kalakanta Prabhu mentioned this morning that this verse 10 we'll be reading is one of the most famous verses of all Srimad Bhagavatam. And I'll try to go through that and explain some of the purports, but just to give a disclaimer that Lord Chaitanya explained this verse in many, many different ways to many great devotees, and certainly in the half hour we'll have to speak on it, we'll only just be licking the bottle, maybe. Hopefully we can get something. But I'll start reading the first few verses, and then we won't read all the purports. I'll read little snippets here and there, and then we'll chant verse 10 together. So to put this in context, we just heard yesterday of Vyasadev, his mature understanding. He just got the blessings of Narada. He got back on track from Narada, Narada Muni, saying, "You didn't focus on Krishna in all your writings and all your literature. So please do that." And so Vyasadeva sat down, and he meditated on Krishna, and in that meditation, Krishna was seen. The absolute truth. Krishna was seen, and not just Krishna, but all of his energies, all of his shakti, his multi energies were seen, and he could see the interactions of what that energy does and how it covers the living entities in the material world. So when he saw that, it was kind of like seeing the answer to a puzzle or something. That, you know, here's Krishna, the ultimate object of attraction, but then here is the problem of us being able to appreciate that form, is this material energy's grasp on us. Although we are all eternally parts and parcels of Krishna, we have this covering that prevents us from fully appreciating that. So he saw that. And then he thought, well, how do I get that? How do I present this? What should I do? He was very concerned. The mass of people don't know about this, and therefore he's writing, he's compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now he's not just making things up, but as we see this, he's compiling it. He's bringing it from the realizations of the revealed scriptures were revealed to him by Krishna. Here they are. Understand it. And then he passes them down to his son as well. We'll be reading that today. So text 7 says, simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feelings for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So in that meditation, again, he was seeing Krishna, but then he was seeing this material energy binding everybody, and by the modes of material nature, everything was running in a certain way that is causing everyone to forget Krishna. And so what is the key? How do we do it? We have to hear about Krishna, simply. It's not like you have to do this or do that. You just need to hear absolute truth from the absolute authority. So he wanted to present this. This is his intention of writing Srimad Bhagavatam. We need to know, you know, when an author writes a book, we need to know, what is the purpose of this book? What is the purpose of these words? Are they just here to take up our time in a classroom or just to pass a test? Well, yeah, to pass a test, yes, in a different way, not in a purely classroom setting type test to get a grade, but it's to pass this test of our time in the material world, and that, yes, Krishna, I no longer want to be separate from you. I've made that statement. I'm here. Basically, being here in the material world is a statement that... what is it? I'm not here by your mukh. So, I'm not here by your book. We change our face, book. We're turning it away from Krishna. That's when we come to the material realm. We're turning our head. We're turning from Krishna. So, that's the statement we've made. We've turned, and so in the material energy, we're covered. And we're thinking, oh yes, this is a good place to be. I'm glad I'm not doing other things. And so Vyasadeva very strongly, he finally got that point from Narada, and he really wanted to drive this home. So in this beginning, first few chapters, we heard so many times, over and over, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam class, these things purify us. By hearing about Krishna, simply by hearing. In the purport, I'll just read a little snippet here. Loving devotional service to the Lord begins with hearing about the Lord. There is no difference between the Lord and the subject matter heard about Him. The Lord is absolute in all respects, and thus there is no difference between Him and the subject matter heard about Him. So this is repeated. This is a theme also repeated throughout the scriptures, that there is no difference. When we chant Hare Krishna, we are associating with Krishna. Krishna is on our tongue. And the more, again, we become uncovered, we'll be able to realize this. In the next verse, text 8, it said, the great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. So, this will be one of the main points of today's focus is the self-realization. What do we mean by self-realization? Right. But there's also a way to be self-realized, but not on the platform of pure devotion, pure bhakti. So like this, it's described before this time, before hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva was not on the bhakti platform. Neither were the four sons of Brahma, the four Kumaras. They also were self-realized. However, it was on a more of an impersonal platform. So by linking to Krishna directly, where did this it was very important in one of these past purports. Prabhupada was talking about this linking process. I don't know if I can find it, but it was the linking process of bhakti. By linking with Krishna, then we get Krishna's association directly. Then obviously we become purified by that, because he is the supreme pure. So Sukadeva Goswami is heard it, and then this is the key, this next verse, text 9, Sri Sonaka asked Suta Goswami, Sri Sukadeva Goswami was already on the path of self-realization, and thus he was pleased with his own self. So why did he take the trouble to undergo the study of such a vast literature? So Srimad Bhagavatam is for us, it's a huge literature. All these volumes and volumes of books that have been presented to us by Srila Prabhupada, taking from the commentaries of great acharyas. It's such a vast literature. It's not just a single verse or a single book. It's many volumes of books. And so if he's self-realized, if we're self-realized, why do we have to take the trouble of studying and go on hearing about Krishna? Because when we look, we think of like self-realization, yogis. I used to have a picture of a yogi long ago, maybe. But yogis in meditation, they're in some sense, they're self-realized. They know they're not this body. They're something other than the body. They're spirit soul. But exactly what to do, they don't fully understand. And so it comes to this verse, text 10, and we can chant this together. So everyone will have it? Yeah, okay. Atmaramascha munayo nirghantya pyukrame kurvantya haita kim bhaktim ithambhuta gunau hari. Please chant. Sutu vacha atmaramascha munayo nirghanta pyurukkame kurvanta haitikim bhaktim itam bhuta ganohari sutta vacha Haitikim bhaktim itam buddha guno hari sutu vacha atma ramascha munayo nirghanta pyurkrame kurvanta haitikim bhaktim Itam Bhuta Guno Hari. This is sometimes simply referred to as the Atma Rama verse. So we'll read the word for word. Sutta Uvacha. Sutta Goswami said, Atma Ramam. Those who take pleasure in the Atma. Generally, spirit self. Cha, also. Munaya, sages. Nirghanta, freed from all bondage. Api, in spite of. Arukrame, unto the great adventurer. Kurvanti, do. Ahoitikam, unalloyed, bhaktim, devotional service, itam bhuta, such wonderful, guna, qualities, hari, of the Lord. Translation. All different varieties of atmaramas, those who take pleasure in atma or spirit self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. This means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including liberated souls. So, the word Atmarama itself, again, is not particularly that this is on a pure devotional platform, because it's saying here Atman Ramas, or it's plural. There are different Atman Ramas. Like we said, there are those who take no more pleasure in the bodily features, but they're taking pleasure in their self. But then here's the important part, is toward that the key part of this verse is that it's connected with Krishna and ahoitikim bhaktim, or unalloyed devotional service. Because we can be self-satisfied that, yes, I'm very happy, and we can be sitting there in our very self-satisfied state, but there's no action. So the ahoitikim bhaktim brings about action, or actual activity. And so, and then of course, with whom? Is Gunohari, with Hari, with Krishna himself. So, Krishna is all attractive, in that he attracts everyone by this method. So we can say, well, geez, no, not everybody's attracted, because there's only a handful of people here. Why is it that he is not fully attractive? But if we understand again in more of the light of what Vyasadeva is seeing, he's seeing Krishna, and he's seeing Krishna's material energy. It's Krishna's energy. And so, whether we are attracted to Krishna or Krishna's energy, certainly we're attracted to Krishna. And whether it's in relationship with Krishna on our mental platform or not, still, we're attracted to Krishna. Everyone is attracted to Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. He's attractive to everyone. But again, in this material realm, we see Krishna is covered, and we're covered. And so we're thinking enjoyment. And what is, again, what is the attachment, what is that attraction to Krishna for? It is to enjoy. And is it to enjoy in sense gratification, just to enjoy ourselves? No, it is to enjoy in this relationship. This relationship that we have, that everyone has with God. We're all parts and parcels of God. And so we enjoy that relationship. And Krishna makes that relationship so enjoyable. And so when we are away from Krishna, anand here by our mukh, we've turned away from Krishna, we are looking for that same enjoyment. It's intrinsic to us. It's intrinsic to the soul to enjoy. We're not saying no enjoyment. And that's what happens when you see different processes where it's just a cutoff of all senses and no action. They'll do it for some time, but then there is a slip up, a fall down, and then they again return to normal activities or sense gratification activities. So that enjoyment, enjoying nature is natural in us. So we're looking for it. We're looking for it in the material world. You know, what can I do? What can I get? And generally it's centered around, you know, the accumulation of wealth. How do I get enough wealth? Because with wealth I can get, you know, whatever I need. Influence, power, friendship, you know, activities. But what's happening is that they're not getting that satisfaction from those activities. They don't get no satisfaction, you know. And they try, and they sometimes get what they need, but that's just to live on, to maybe live another day, because somehow or other, again, that attraction to Krishna, they're trying to seek some enjoyment. And that little bit what they need is enough to them think, oh, geez, maybe I just need to do a little better. Tomorrow I'll try a little better. I'll get something else. I'll try. And it's like, oh, it doesn't happen. So actually, a devotee rewrote that famous ditty to in more of a devotee light. He said, I just get more satisfaction when I chant and I dance. Hey, Rod, hey. So, the satisfaction, that's really, isn't that what we're looking for when enjoyment? It's not just, you know, like when a hungry person is there, they're looking for to satisfy that hunger. However that comes about, it's not so important, but that the satisfaction is what is the goal of the real enjoyment. Maybe something simple, but if you're really hungry and you want to just satisfy the hunger, it almost doesn't matter whether it's popcorn or if it's pizza, it's still satisfying the hunger. So the Atmaramas, they're self-satisfied in some way, but they don't have that full satisfaction, which is called Yenatma Supersedati. And you've studied this in the previous chapters. Again and again, Sutta Goswami is using this term, yenatma supersedati. What is fully satisfying to the self? And again, it points back to the ahoitikim bhaktim, this unalloyed devotional service. I'm going to read a few excerpts from those earlier chapters. This is from the first chapter, text 11 purport. And it kind of gives us a little of this terminology as well. Atma, or self, is distinguished from matter and material elements. It is spiritual in constitution, and thus it is never satisfied by any amount of material planning. All scriptures and scriptural injunctions are meant for the satisfaction of this self, or Atma. There are many varieties of approaches which are recommended for different types of living beings in different times and at different places. Consequently, the number of revealed scriptures are innumerable. There are different methods and prescribed duties recommended in these various scriptures. So there's different ways of satisfying the self. In all, you could say, well, this is our scripture, but in all scriptures, nobody is saying, there's no scripture that is saying, just be happy here, accumulate some wealth, have a nice family, and everything will be fine. No, they're all pointing to a different realm, a higher realm, of whereas the interaction of the Atma, the self, the true self, is in relationship with the Paramatma, or supreme person, the supreme self, supreme Krishna. And so that relationship, that's like when you find your dearmost friend again, and just seeing them again and being with them again, it brings satisfaction, brings enjoyment. This is from the second canto, our second chapter, text 5. Krishna is our most intimate master, friend, father, or son, and object of love. Forgetting Krishna, we have created so many objects of questions and answers, but none of them are able to give us complete satisfaction. All things, but Krishna, give temporary satisfaction only. So if we are to have complete satisfaction, we must take to the questions and answers about Krishna. We cannot live for a moment without being questioned or without giving answers. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with questions and answers that are related to Krishna, we can derive the highest satisfaction by reading and hearing this transcendental literature. One should learn the Srimad Bhagavatam and make an all-around solution to all problems pertaining to social, political, or religious matters. Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna are the sum and total of all things. So again, a little more emphasis now on the where is that source of satisfaction coming from? Krishna directly. And that's what Srimad Bhagavatam focuses on. Srimad Bhagavatam focuses, just like this last month we've been focusing on Krishna and Damodar Leela, how beautiful Krishna is. We've focused on that. So Srimad Bhagavatam is focusing on a Dharma Kaitavatra. Everything else is kicked out, pushed away. This is the focus. Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna is the focus. And so by doing that, we daily Srimad Bhagavatam, we're coming to understand that we're slowly uncovering that material coverings that we have for so long, and of the worst is identifying with this body as the self. Not that the Atmarama, or if I am Atmarama, then it has nothing to do with this body. It is with my true self. And then this very famous verse, which has some of the same words in today's verse, Savai Pum Samparo Damo Yatho Bhakti Yadhok Sajay Ahoitikyati Mata Yeyatma Supersedati. So the Atma, the Ahoitikim, the Bhaktim, all that is there, the same. The supreme duty for everyone, for all humans who want to be self-satisfied, Yeyatma, is to attain this service, loving service to Krishna, which has no cessation and is never interrupted, and there's no motivation for anything else except to please Krishna. This satisfies the self. This is what will satisfy you. And Prabhupada says in the purport, part of the purport, and he's saying, this is why I've translated it this way. So this is nice. We have purposely denoted dharma as occupation because the root meaning of the word dharma is that which sustains one's existence. So, when we think, oh, dharma, you just do your duty. But he's translating, he's saying it sustains, it's like air, it's like water. Without those things, we cannot live. So without this, and what is the dharma prescribed here? Unmotivated, uninterrupted service to Krishna. And Krishna as a person, that relationship. And that denotes that there is a relationship. And so by developing this relationship with Krishna, we are sustaining ourselves. We are nourishing ourselves. And that brings satisfaction. Yenatma supersedati. That brings the real satisfaction which we are hankering for. And so everybody is looking for that satisfaction, isn't it? Everybody. There's nobody out there who is not looking to be satisfied, to be happy, to be content in their activities. But unfortunately, again, the problem is they're trying to do it in the opposite of ahoitikim apratiyata. The opposite is it's very motivated that I want this for me so I can enjoy. And it's interrupted all the time because they just can't enjoy material. What is the qualities of material? Temporary and dukkhalayama, such temporary and not a source. It's not a source of happiness. It's not. You can try to gain happiness from a material object, but you can't. And it's temporary. Even if there's a slight trace, and like I said, the material energy is also Krishna's energy. So Krishna is there in some ways, and sometimes in the Bhagavatam we'll have directions that, yes, worship this universal form of Krishna. You see Krishna in the sky and the trees, and so that is the way we can see Krishna everywhere. And so although everybody's attracted to Krishna in a not direct way, indirect way, we can tell them, we can show them, yes, this is Krishna's energy as well. You are attracted because you're attracted to the beautiful sunset. Why? Why are you attracted to it? It's beautiful. But why? It is Krishna's energy. It's Krishna's creation. And when we show them that the supreme soul of the universe is Krishna, he is the one who's doing this. And then Krishna himself says, but all this beautiful stuff you may see throughout creation, that's just a tiny, tiny spark of the true splendor of Krishna. And so, how much satisfaction can we get? We can get a whole lot more as we progress in devotional service. We can't even conceive of it. Some of these statements are just inconceivable of how much. Because, again, although we're on the path of bhakti, we're not pure bhaktas. I'm not a pure bhakta. So, when I'm sitting in it with devotees together, we're concentrating on Krishna. But when I walk out the door and stub my toe, it's like, my material body, that's me. I just stub my toe or eye toe. And that hurt me. But so we're not, we're on the path and we're learning and we're practicing. And so that's why it's Vyasadev, and that's why this whole presentation, this beginning of part of the Bhagavatam, is concentrating again and again on hearing. It is the most important part of our devotional studies. I had quite a few other things to quote. Oh, here. There was a very sweet devotee in Boston when I was living there. Her name was Mother Isha. She's very elderly, even when I lived there 20 years ago. She was very elderly at that time. And she was one of Prabhupada's servants in typists, and being a typist. But she was very unique in that she was almost always Krishna conscious. At least from our perspective, she was always Krishna conscious. And she would always just greet you with really wonderful, she would always say, "Hello, spirit soul. Hari Bol, spirit soul. 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair." Whenever she'd always greet us that way. And me and her, we had a wonderful kind of like mother son relationship. She was very motherly to me as in my brahmachari days, and as a cook and working very hard in the kitchen, she would always come and help and make sure I had socks and had a hat. And so over 20 years ago, she gave me this bracelet, and it's this verse, Atma Ramas Chamanayo, and she put it around my wrist, and she said, "Now, don't forget this. You should remember this every day. Don't forget that to become fully self-satisfied, you keep serving Krishna in whatever you're doing." So, I'm very glad I could find this morning, and I keep it. And it's fun to remember her and our times together. But it's such an important verse, in that Lord Chaitanya himself many times would quote this verse. Prabhupada would quote this verse many times. And as Kalakanta Prabhu alluded this morning, it was such a wonderful pastime. And it's chapters, actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can read and really get technical on all, every single word of the Atmarama verse. But I just wanted to read some of this where Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Sanatana Goswami just these opulences of Krishna and why he is so attractive to us. And so we can kind of end on these notes. And as we hear these sweet descriptions of Krishna being Atmaramasta, or being Ahoitakim Bhaktim, or being our focus of our wanting to become Atmaramas, we can try to come away with some of that appreciation. Lord Krishna has many pastimes, of which his pastimes as a human being are the best. His form as a human being is the supreme transcendental form. In this form, he is a cowherd boy. He carries a flute in his hands, and his youth is new. He is also an expert dancer. All this is just suitable for his pastimes as a human being. And we know, also in the beginning part, Krishna does these, performs these pastimes simply to what? Attract us. You know, we're all, Krishna is all attractive. He's fully self-satisfied. He has no need to come to the material world. He is enjoying in Golok. With his confidants, with his great devotees, and his he has no need, but he's coming because again, this relationship, we have a relationship with somebody we hate to be turned there. We hate it when they turn our back on us, right? And we try, what has happened? What has happened to us? We reach out, and so this is Krishna's reaching out to us. That I'm coming here. I'm going to display these pastimes for you to simply attract you back to me in this relationship that we have. It's not that we're creating a relationship that wasn't there. My dear Sanatan, the sweet, attractive, transcendental form of Krishna is so nice. Just try to understand it. Even a fractional understanding of Krishna's beauty can merge all the three worlds into an ocean of love. He attracts all the living entities within these three worlds. The transcendental form of Krishna is shown to the world by Lord Krishna's internal spiritual energy, which is a transformation of pure goodness. This jewel-like form is the most confidential treasure of the devotees. This form is manifest from Krishna's eternal pastimes. The wonder of Krishna and his personal feature is so great that it attracts even Krishna to taste his own association. Just imagine being Krishna, so attractive, so wonderful. I mean, we can only imagine it. And can we even imagine it? That we can imagine a form that is so attractive even to his own self. Thus Krishna becomes very eager to taste that wonder. And so here's, again, we step back a little bit. Lord Chaitanya is speaking this to Sanatana Goswami with the hidden meanings that's who I am. I'm that Krishna wanting to find out. I'm that Krishna attracted to Krishna. So that's a nice little hidden there. Total beauty, total knowledge, total wealth, strength, fame, and renunciation are the six opulences of Krishna. He is eternally situated in these opulences. Ornaments caress that body, but that transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornament of all ornaments. Despite the wonderful beauty of Krishna, there is this three-curved style of standing which beautifies that form. Along with these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely, acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. When the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their minds become agitated. So it goes on and on for many verses of this sweetness of Krishna's beauty. So it's just a taste of like, wow, how much beauty or how much appreciation of Krishna's beauty am I missing out on? But again, that's the process of devotional service. We're uncovering these desires, and right now we're mixed right now. When I stub my toe, I'm still mixed. I'm still thinking I'm this body. Or when I wake up in a cold morning, I'm thinking this body is cold. I don't want to get out of this warm womb of a bed. As we perform more and more service for Krishna, we get it. We naturally get it. Every one of us here has a statement or a testament that, yes, when I perform Krishna service, I'm happy. And when I don't, when I forget Krishna, then I'm unhappy. It's just simple like that. I don't want to go to the end. Let's go ahead and ask for questions and discussions. Yeah, Ananda. Yeah, well, I mean, again, we're going to have beyond our Krishna conscious development and you know, trying to become Krishna conscious ourselves, we're living in a particular place, in a particular area, we have needs as well, bodily needs. So we have to have a balance. And yeah, it can be taken casually, and then Krishna, you know, he'll take you casually, like he said, that, you know, there's that, I think we talked, when I brought Giriraj here, we talked to Krishna's form. Krishna has these two forms. He has this form of 10 hands that if we, you know, offer Krishna, you know, how much more he can give back to us. But if we don't offer to Krishna, he's not going to give back. He wants, because it's not that he's looking for the